Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. I simply entitled this, Looking for Truth in All the Wrong Places. Here's the first half of this two-part study.
I just simply entitled this, Looking for Truth in All the Wrong Places. Looking for Truth in All the Wrong Places. We'll look at it in three parts. The Word of Truth purifies our souls in verse 22. The Living Word of God in verse 23. And then the word of the Lord remains forever in verses 24 and 25. So last week we kind of spent some time briefly talking about preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded and setting your hope fully on the grace of Jesus Christ. But we talked about what it means to be an obedient child of God, not to be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but to be holy because He is holy. And through that, we talked about the fear, the reverence that we're supposed to have, the awe, reverence that we're supposed to have in God, not the fear of man. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, have the fear of man and not the fear of God in their walks. But we talked about the perishable things that, as we talked about the silver and gold, but that you were bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, who went to the cross for us. And through that we finished up as we talked about our faith and hope is in God. Now, when we think about the Word of God, it's something that I remember in Nehemiah that I loved is Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'll just kind of briefly summarize it because it goes into a quite a bit, because in Nehemiah chapter 8, it actually talks about when the walls were finished being built, Nehemiah being the leader that he was, it was time for the Word of God to be spoken. And so Ezra comes out, and this is another thing about a great leader. Nehemiah's job was not to teach the Word. Nehemiah's job was to build the wall. And so what does he do? He gets Ezra. He sets his pride down, and he's like, hey, Ezra, I need you to teach the Word. And so Ezra goes up and he teaches the word, but I love what it says in verse 2 of Nehemiah chapter 8. It says, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, all who could understand what they heard. So this is the first assembly of church. Nehemiah actually gets on a stand so he can be heard, and he does it in front of the water gate. And it's the Word of God that washes us. And so what we see here is in verse 3, it says, and he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. Most Christians get upset if it starts going past 40 minutes. When the pastor's, oh, well, you know, hey, man, Cowboys are playing. They're going to lose, dude. I mean, it's like, come on. Bro, I can tell you they're like the Falcons right now. Right? But he says, and all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose. That way it could project and everybody could hear. Now they go on to share the word of God to the people. And this is the first time that they're hearing it. And they're realizing when they hear it that they're in sin. And they start weeping and mourning. That's what God's Word does. It convicts us. It reproofs us. It guides us. And so when we look at this portion of Scripture, the importance is, yes, the Word of God speaks. It's the Word of the truth that purifies our souls. That's the first point that we'll look at. And it says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth from a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And to having purified your soul, actually in the Greek, means to ceremonially sanctify, to be moral. That's what the Word of God does. It purifies self. And what happens is sometimes we allow the wrong things into our life from the world, and the thing that's washing you is not the Word, it's the world. It's the culture. It's the things that you're digesting. And so why are you acting so much in your flesh? Well, what are you digesting? What are you washing yourself with? When's the last time you even opened the Word of God? When's the last time you listened to the Word of God? If we're to be sanctified by the Word and it purifies our soul, do we actually spend time in it? See what happens with Nehemiah. Nehemiah goes back to King Artaxerxes. He gets done with the wall and he's gone for several years. And he comes back to Jerusalem. Now they had this revival. They heard the Word of God. They changed directions and they started following God. And within several years, they stopped following God. Nehemiah returns, and I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah would get mad at the men and pull their beards because they wouldn't listen. You're like, you know, can you imagine? That's why, you know, I'm not going to have one. But in Nehemiah 13, verses 7 through 9, Nehemiah 13, verses 7 through 9, it says, and it came to Jerusalem, and I then discovered the evil Elishab that had done for Tobiah, preparing for him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And I was very angry, and I threw all the household furniture of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I gave orders, and they cleansed the chambers, and I brought back their vessels of the house of God with grain offerings and frankincense. Now, when you read that, you're probably thinking, Mike, what does that have to do with this? Okay, Elishab was actually the chief priest. Tobiah, if you ever read the book of Nehemiah, Tobiah shows up in chapter 2, and he's working for the enemy, the devil. And he tries to create chaos every step of the way for Nehemiah. And so what has happened? Tobiah is a Gentile. He's not even supposed to be in the house of God. He's not allowed. But this chief priest has allowed it, and not only allowed it, he let him bring furniture in, and he's living there. And this stops worship for all of Jerusalem. There's no worship going on now. There's no grains for the people who serve God for them to eat. There's no frankincense. There's nothing for them to be able to do worship. It has completely stopped worship. And when your purified souls are being purified with the Word of God, it cleanses all that stuff out. And if you think about the soul, that's where the heart resides. And you think about this, the chambers in the courts, your chambers of your heart needs to be cleansed out. And so Nehemiah comes in and he goes, all the furniture's gone. He throws it out. This is what happens to us when we get in the Word of God. Things need to go. This can't be here. Right? He cleanses it out. And I love that because, you know, that understanding that our hearts and our souls need to be cleansed with the Word of God and not with the world. And think about it. When you set up your furniture, that doesn't happen overnight. You may hang a picture here and then go, no, I think it would be better over there. Or, you know what, I think the recliner would be better over here. You start moving stuff around a couple of times. So Tobias made himself at home. And that's what the enemy does when you wash yourself with the world. He will make a residence in your soul. Like he will try to take every bit of the chambers of your heart and start hardening certain areas, and you start getting upset, you start getting angry, you start having your flesh come out, you start lying, you start doing all these different things because you have not purified your soul. And the only thing that can purify your soul is the Word of God. It's God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, Kirk, can you close that back door because we're getting flies in here? Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. It's all right. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." You were just told in 1 Peter earlier in the chapter that you were bought with the precious blood of Christ. You're not your own. And so having purified your souls and being obedient to the truth, what happens is we search for truth in all the wrong places. Your truth is the Word of God. We have to acknowledge that. And he tells you, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. To the truth. And this is the second time he brings up the point of obedience. What was the last time? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. "According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to" who? Jesus Christ. So he's saying your obedience is to Jesus Christ, your obedience is to truth. And you're to be obedient children. How do you do that? Be obedient to the truth, be obedient to Christ. But what happens is we start looking for truth in other places. You start getting philosophy and psychology and all these different things that we get mixed up in. And it's not the Word of God. It's not the Word of God. John 15:3 says, "Already you are clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you." And Jesus is the truth. You don't need to look for it anywhere else. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." There's only one way and only one truth and only one life. If you follow the way, you'll find truth, Him, Jesus Christ. And then you have life. And he says, "No one comes to the Father but through me." In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." So if you are to be obedient to the truth and you're being disobedient to the truth, if you're not washing yourself with the Word of God and not purifying and cleansing your soul with God's Word, what happens? You don't know how to love each other. Because that's what he says next. He says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love." Philadelphia. That's the word we get. And Philadelphia is not a great place of brotherly love right now. People are getting jacked and beat up, and it's definitely a disobedience to the truth. Perfect example. In Psalm 55:21, it says, "His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." Because he says, look, if you're from a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That other, you have brotherly love, which is Philadelphia, then you have love, agape, back to back. Brotherly love, agape love. And that is that sacrificial Christ-like love. And so when he says in Psalm 55:21, he's like you speak with like smooth as butter, but man, you're making war in your heart. There's a war going on in your heart, and yet your words are softer than oil, but you got your sword drawn ready to stab it in my back. There's no love. And so when you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's the Word of God that helps you be empowered by the Holy Spirit, you have the Word working with God, the Spirit, you can love your brother and sister in Christ. Look, I've had people do vile things. And that's happening right now. I had somebody that doesn't even attend church call me and say, "Mike, I'm just checking on you. You okay?" I was like, "Oh, that's awesome." I said, "Well, what have you heard? Because I'm sure you've heard something. Somebody's smooth as butter and making war." But that happens to pastors all the time. It's okay. We don't really need to defend ourselves because God does that. We don't need to worry about that stuff. I don't get involved in that stuff. But I love my brother and my sister, whatever they got to say, God bless them. Will I have lunch with them? Probably not. But at the end of the day, it's like they're still my brother and sister in Christ. But what happens is we start washing ourselves with the world, and things start to happen. See, when we think about this agape love, we cannot do that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And what happens too is when we're, I shared this verse on Wednesday night in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. This verse is, man, this is a gut punch. It's a hard verse. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. The reason why there's no Philadelphia love, no brotherly love, no agape love is because you are doing one of these sins. And do you see that it's the eyes, the mouth, the hands, the feet? It's the whole body. And you're being controlled by Satan. You're working for the enemy at that point. You're pushing out false witnessing and lying against people. You're devising wicked plans. And then what that does is it causes division amongst the brothers and sisters in Christ. It destroys fellowship. And so if we are to be Christians who follow Christ, we are to allow that having purified your souls by the obedience to what? The truth. We need to be in the Word of God. So we can have a sincere brotherly love. That word sincere, without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. That's where that smooth as butter thing comes from. Right? But they're making war in their heart. They talk to you smooth as butter, but they're making war in your heart because it's hypocrisy. See, Paul is saying for you as a believer, you have a sincere heart without hypocrisy. Don't do it like your brotherly love, your love for one another that you have that is agape love. It is from a sincere, without hypocrisy. And it's sad because we see a lot of that today. But we're told time and time again to love one another in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. It says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Who's your neighbor? Everybody. Who's going to cause you the most problems? The enemy. The ones that are giving you a hard time. Those are going to be the ones that are going to be the hardest to love. That's the reality of it. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "The aim of the charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Finally, the love of God requires of us, for which we are to strive, is a lasting love which never fails." In John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves have been born of God, knows God." So love is something that should be happening in all of us. As we talk about the truth, where are you looking for truth at? If Jesus is the truth, why are you searching the world for it? You know how many self-help books and stuff that are out there on parenting or marriage? Do you know what the only book that you need is the Word of God? It teaches you how to be a husband, how to be a wife. It teaches you how to be parents. It's like, I didn't know that. At 39, I came into church. I was like, oh, that's in the book? Wow. I didn't know that. It teaches you how when somebody's being smooth as butter, but they're making war against you. You just pray for them. You pray for them. That's all you do. Like, give them over to God. It's not your fight. Right? God will reveal where their heart is. Because you're washing yourself with the Word, and because they're doing those things, where they're sowing discord between brothers and sisters, because they're doing those things, what happens is at the end of the day, you're washing yourself with the word. They're not, because they wouldn't be in their flesh like that. You be led by the Spirit. You look for truth, it's in the Word of God. There's only one truth, it's Jesus Christ. And we're going to find out that He is the living Word of God. Our second point, it says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. There in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the first thing He tells you is like, I'm not just, you know, trying to change a behavioral pattern. I'm making you a new creation in Christ. I'm not trying to control your anger or control your addiction. I am making you a new creation in Christ. You're born again. And that's what He was trying to get to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Again, we've spoken about being born again already in chapter 1. You're seeing a lot of the themes being repeated over and over. Love, obedience, right? And born again. Those terms have already been mentioned. And again, when you see things repeated, you need to pay attention. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, or Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Simply being born again is that you're not, and how do I say this to make sure we get this? You're repenting of your sin, and you're realizing the only person that could pay the debt of the sin is the perfect Lamb of God through the blood that was shed on the cross. And He was resurrected, so He defeated death. And so you repent of your sins and you ask Christ into your heart. Do you need to necessarily say a sinner's prayer? No, you don't. Because let me tell you something, I've met people that have never done the sinner's prayer that just repented and asked Christ into their heart and they changed. And you'll have some churches that'll be like, well, you didn't say the sinner's prayer, so you're not saved and you got to say the sinner's prayer. That's something man came up with. There's nothing, the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. Hello? He tells you simply in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, repent and believe in me. You ask Him into your heart. That's it. Then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll lead you in the sinner's prayer. I got no problem doing that. But what I would care more about is that you would actually be born again, that you would actually become the new creation that God's called you to be. To be born again is not to be born of the old. It's to be born of the Spirit. And it's understanding, like, when we think about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and how they all work together in the believer to help guide you in this world. Like, He's not leaving you alone. You're His child. Like, He's showing you this has to go. It needs to go then. Stop playing around with it. Purify your soul. Hey, God showed me. Let's get rid of it. That's why He says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed. Remember He talked about the gold and silver last week? Look, the streets of heaven are paved with gold. They mean nothing in heaven. There is nothing you are taking with you. Whatever status that you think you're chasing after here in this world means nothing in heaven, because you're bought with an imperishable seed. It's not corruptible. I know people that are working on their third and fourth homes. Well, I need to have this vacation home and this hunting home. They're not taking none of it. It's all going to be burned up. You came into this world naked, and you will leave this world naked. There ain't nothing coming with you. And the only thing you better hope that you have is in your heart is Jesus Christ, that you're covered by the blood of Christ. That's all you need. He uses the word perishable, which in the Greek is just decayed or corruptible. But the imperishable in the Greek means that it cannot be corrupted. It cannot decay. It's the seed, the Holy Spirit that produces new birth in you and is done through the Word of God. The Spirit uses the Word of God to produce life in you. So if you're not in the truth, if you're not in the Word, what kind of life are you producing? Because he says through the living and abiding Word of God. The living and abiding Word of God. Just FYI, the Word of God is the Logos, which is Jesus Christ.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.